Hi, y'all. This is Kristen Chenoweth.
Hi, I'm Gloria Stefan.
This is Sarah Bareilles.
Hi, I'm Patti LuPone.
This is Lin-Manuel Miranda. You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
That actually is pretty good.
They can't tell.
No. Totally different. Hey, guys. This is Brian.
Kevin.
Kimberly.
You drinking? Kimberly drinking?
Kimberly's
drinking.
Yeah, sorry.
Have you been having fun listening to us week after week after week after week after week?
We're done.
After week? Well, we want to invite you personally to see Broadwasted live at the Bell House in Brooklyn as a part of New York City Podfest with our special guest and future friend of the show.
Future friend of the show.
Krista Rodriguez.
You may remember Krista from NBC Smash, from the upcoming NBC show Trial and Error, or on Broadway in shows like In the Heights, First Date, Adam's Family, and both Spring Awakening.
So come check us out at the Bell House in Brooklyn on April 9th at 1 p.m. It is an 18-plus event, so make sure if you are under 21, you are staying safe, and if you are over 21, you have a Bloody Mary or five.
And you can get your tickets now on nycpodfest.com. Go to our Instagram at Broadwasted or our Twitter at Broadwasted.
So come see us and get drunk with us. Join the happy hour, Broadwasted Live.
Hello, and welcome to the official Broadwasted podcast, where we're drunk on theater. I'm your host, Brian Plofsky, and the doctor is in.
Oh, yeah.
My new philosophy is that the Glee Club rehearsal on Beethoven Day will only consist of the Kite, Schroeder, Snoopy, My Blanket, and me, and Kevin.
Yeah.
But before I forget, Kevin, the book report on the baseball game is due before supper time.
Mm.
Okay.
Can you do it?
So, little known fact.
God.
Being here with you always brings out pure happiness. Oh. Hashtag Peppermint Patty, are you okay?
It's going to take over Twitter.
Joining us today are the usual members of the TEAM, including Kevin Bowes Jager.
Bowes?
That was the only song left on the track.
Sorry, I'll take all the
actually,
credit.
Actually, it wasn't. Kevin, you're a good man. Jager.
Thanks, Brian.
You're welcome. But I had to do bows first.
I understand.
Yeah.
Kimberly. Sounds like woof. Yeah. Bows. Bow wow.
Buzz, your girlfriend. Woof. Kimberly, our game master and unofficial babysitter for the hour.
Yes, hello.
Stay safe.
Yeah.
And with us today is an actress and podcaster whose career has spanned the gamut. You may remember her from the Seinfeld episode, The Contest.
Yes.
Damages, Failure to Launch, Friends with Kids, and Confessions of a Shopaholic, just to name a few. On Broadway, she appeared in The Last Night of Ballyhoo, Wrong Mountain, Jake's Women, and of course as Lucy in the memorable 1999 revival of You're a Good Man, Charlie Brown. You can also hear her weekly on her podcast, Little Known Facts. Let's give a big Broadwasted welcome to friend of the show.
Friend of the show.
Ilana Levine.
Hi. You guys, this is so exciting.
We're excited
welcome.
To have you.
We're very happy to have
and
you.
And that yeah. is... an incredibly impressive introduction that you managed to work an entire cast album.
Oh yes,
into
he does it every week. I'm every week. I'm flabbergasted.
He's amazing. Someone's middle name should be like Reprise or something.
Well, you can follow Ilana on social media at Ilana Levine, and that's on Twitter. Are you on Instagram?
Yes. So on Instagram and Facebook, it's Little Known Facts Podcast.
Okay, it is. Okay.
And Twitter is just at Ilana Levine.
Great. And if you're not listening to Little Known Facts, you should be. She has fantastic guests, a lot of really good information and stories. It'll make you cry. It'll make you laugh. But you should subscribe to it on iTunes. It's excellent.
Yeah. And if you like crying and laughing at the same time.
I do. Weekly. So let's get right into it. What are you drinking?
What are you drinking?
What are we drinking?
Cam, what are you drinking?
I brought with me a Cabernet Sauvignon.
Ooh,
it's
fancy.
A Horse Heaven Hills 2014 from Columbia Crest. I don't know. My dad bought it for me, and he has a Wine Spectator subscription, so I think it's good.
Cool.
Yeah, I like it.
Do you think
it.
It's good because you're drinking it and it tastes good, or because your dad...
I mean, he usually has good wine, but like this, I think this is actually good wine. It's not like $4 Chuck. It's actually like decent red wine.
I'm also drinking it, and I am enjoying it.
It's a good wine.
Yeah, yeah. And you're in which cup?
Oh, I'm in the Spring Awakening cup.
Great. I'm in the Slap Chop.
No, Magic Bullet.
Why do you always say Slap Chop? What is a Slap Chop?
It's a different infomercial, but it does not make smoothies.
Is that
smoothies?
The thing that like, kind of looks like a long Tupperware, but it has like knives in the top?
It looks like a mason jar with a handle made of plastic.
That's exactly what it is.
Yeah.
But you can like
all the kids are doing
it.
It's like it's a Magic Bullet cup.
Yeah.
So you can do Magic Bullet stuff.
Ooh, you can juice.
And slice and dice.
I got rid of the Magic Bullet, though, so it doesn't actually go to anything anymore.
So now just a cup.
Because now I have a pretty hot pink blender because I'm getting married.
Ooh, did you register for that?
I did.
Was Jay like, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Jay's very colorful.
Whenever you want, honey.
Absolutely.
I think he requested the hot pink. Yeah, it's like hot pink and kind of shiny.
You know what's great about that? Like, you'll never lose it.
That's true. I actually haven't heard of a lot of people be like, God, I lost my blender today.
Was it pink? Nope.
Exactly.
That one was mine.
What's its name? Rizzo?
It doesn't have a name yet.
The pink blade. I get it.
Pink lady.
It's a pink lady.
Also an apple.
Why has it got to be a lady?
I think it's jam because it's making me milkshakes.
Pink lady.
Pink ladies are your favorite apples?
Mm-hmm. They have apples.
So good.
They're pink ladies?
They're delicious.
Yeah, yeah. They're amazing. What's your favorite apple?
A Granny Smith.
Okay.
When I was pregnant, I ate two things for 9 months only.
For both children?
I don't even remember the second one. Maybe? Uh-huh. Yes. Yes. Yes, for both children. Granny Smith's and Life cereal.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Together?
No.
Huh.
But that would be like the two things. It's so weird. Like, I haven't thought about that.
That's funny.
Since you mentioned Granny Smith. Huh. These are little known facts.
Beat me to it. Kev, what's your favorite?
Apple? Aren't they called like Red Delicious?
Yes.
Yeah,
the boring ones.
Yeah, I'm a boring apple eater. And I won't eat it off the actual apple. You have to cut it up.
Really?
Like a child?
Yeah. Yep.
Oh, see, I don't like
I'm very like weird about fruit. For a long time, I would only eat fruit that didn't have the word berry in it because I didn't like berries. But I've changed my way on that. I had my first strawberry at 25 and was like, oh, they're actually really good.
What?
Did you do that for love? I feel like anything I tried, like sushi, as most people, if you don't grow up eating it, the first time you're like, that's disgusting. And, and then you're on a date with someone, you're like, oh my God, I love sushi.
I did actually. I had a boyfriend at the time that was like, you are not going any longer without eating a strawberry.
Like, of course
and
not.
And then I was like, okay, sure.
Jay made me eat blueberries because I didn't think I liked blueberries.
I don't know why I've always said no to strawberries.
Why you're marrying him.
Yeah.
Did you
he's
like
gotten
blueberries?
Me to eat a lot of things. Like, I like onions now.
Uh-huh. Mm. You take a bite?
No. But like, if they're cooked enough, I can eat an onion.
Okay.
Is that a good thing that, like, from a relationship, you start eating more onions?
Like, I don't know. He still kisses me.
Do you know what, though? The things that are, like, adorable when you're dating. Like, remember how he used to eat onions? I thought, like, within 5 years, you're like, if he eats one more onion, like, I'm going to vomit.
Mine is, I love wine saps.
Okay.
Apples.
Oh, we're still on apples.
We're still on apples.
Have we been? This is like 45 minutes in,
yeah, it's
right?
Great.
Also, speaking of apples,
what are you drinking?
I'm drinking cider.
Great, in the cat's cup.
In the cat's cup.
Great,
because I just
Kimberly,
got back
you are not drinking
party.
Cider. What are you actually drinking?
I'm drinking cider.
Cidre.
Oh, sorry, Stella Artois cidre.
Cidre.
It's a lot of languages spoken on this podcast.
No, we're multilingual.
So I just want to share. Are any of you familiar with water?
I've heard of it.
It's delish. Yeah. I'm drinking the best glass
that's what
of ice water.
Bed, so you don't feel bad in the morning, right?
Well, yeah. I actually hate drinking water. And
really?
Now I'm trying to drink. When I was doing You're a Good Man, Charlie Brown with Anthony Rapp, Anthony would drink like 7 huge gallons of water during an entire show.
Wow.
Like he was the most He's the most hydrated actor in the business. That is a secret that I'm going to share with all of you. He would rollerblade from the East Village, like rollerblade, where I'm dating myself. You kids probably don't even know what rollerblades are, but he would rollerblade from the East Village through like Times Square to the Ambassador Theater. He would then drink a gallon. And then literally by the time the show was over, he would have had like tons and tons of water. And I would have had like one small, like the dollar water bottle that you get in the day. Like, it's not even Poland Spring. Like, it's right. Label-less water.
Amazing.
So I'm really trying to drink more water. And that is part of my New Year's resolution. And so I am
like
really tempted to drink everything on this table. But I'm having water in my dearest Jerry Mitchell's Kinky Boots.
Yes. Kinky Boots Cup.
Yes.
Fantastic.
This was really fun. Thanks so much, you guys. Yeah.
Before we talk about Charlie Brown, which I can't wait to talk about, let's do What Have You Seen This Week?
What Have You Seen This Week?
I whispered it.
That was good.
Just to be funny.
Let's start with what you guys saw.
Okay. I got the opportunity to see, with Kimberly, we got a little date night.
I was like, I was there.
And we got to see The View Upstairs. It's a new musical that is playing downtown at...
The Lynn Redgrave Theater at the Culture Project.
I love that space.
But they transformed it into the Upstairs Lounge, which was a gay bar in the 70s.
Yeah, so the show The View Upstairs, it basically tells the story of... it's a true story about a bar in New Orleans.
Except for the time travel.
Oh, well, there was time travel.
It cannot
travel
be confirmed
happened.
If the time travel is
actually
true.
Happened or not. I can't stand for that. But it was basically a true story about a gay bar that was set fire to. And there were a lot of people. There were 125 people inside when it was set fire, and 32 people actually lost their lives from the fire. And the whole show is it's set in the bar, and you're sitting around spread out. Some of the audience members are at tables, and then the actors throughout the show, it's basically they're walking around you as if the whole place is the bar. So it feels very kind of like that immersive feel, but not overly immersive because it's like a full scripted show and it's a musical. So it's they break a new song and everything like that. But it kind of...
Is that what they do in musicals?
It is. Oh. Sometimes they do sing songs. I found it very, very poignant. It was a really powerful story. I was sad to say that I didn't actually know the story before I walked into it. The performances were fantastic. The whole show is written by one person. Book music and lyrics are by Max Vernon. Mm-hmm. I think he did a really great job. He tells a really strong story. The characters are very well thought out. And they show, you know, it's funny because there's a character that kind of goes through time. And so you get to see.
Kind of?
Well,
He goes through time.
He def goes through time.
He goes from 2017. He buys the building that he buys this building that the bar was in. And he's this like fashion designer in 2017. Just like, I got to tear this horrible place down. And then it like comes back to life.
Back to the bar. So it's like...
And they, like,
oh, I read about
him.
This. This is in the French Quarter in New Orleans, right?
Yes.
In this, okay. Okay.
Yes. And so he goes back and he is sort of, like, learning from the struggles of the community in the 70s and what he's, like, relating it to what he is going through now.
That sounds devastating.
It was really beautiful. Yeah. And I think what really struck me was a lot of these... There are multiple kinds of these stories that have been told. I think the immersive experience kind of brought it a lot more home to me. It was also interesting that even though time travel is like a thing that's been done in a lot of different stories, because of how they used it in this way, we got to kind of see how he kind of held up a very honest mirror to gay life in the 2017 era. But yeah, it was really fantastic. Yeah. Everybody should go see it. Shout out to the cast. They're really fantastic. Frenchie Davis is in the show of American Idol fame. Holla. Taylor Frey, Nathan Lee Graham.
Taylor Frey was the hot one, right?
Taylor Frey was the hot one. It's Jeremy Pope is in it as the lead. He's the one who goes back in time. It's just a really great story.
I will say, too, that it's such in the beginning stages because it's in this really small space downtown.
Yeah.
I'm very interested to see where it goes because I think there's still part of the story that isn't as clear as it could be. You know, all of the problems that you see in something when it's new.
We'll go around the table. I want to hear what everyone has to say about when you see a brand new musical like The View Upstairs, or if you saw, you know, Come From Away in Toronto or whatever it may be, mm-hmm. What are you looking for? One thing that you are looking for in a new musical that you personally want to pull from it?
I mean, for me, it's always, does it stay with me? Mm-hmm. Right? Does the experience mm-hmm. linger? Do the songs linger mm-hmm. for me? I mean, I never walk in with an expectation exactly the way you just described it,
right,
although it's such
course.
A great question. But I do think the ones – I got to see Spring Awakening at the Atlantic uh-huh. before it moved to Broadway. This is a long time ago now. But I just remember everything about, you know, that was really a reinvention of something, the way it mm-hmm. was staged, the way it kind of took, you know, a classic play and sort of turned it on its ear, the way the music was so haunting and mm-hmm. and – it just was a really incredibly immersive theatrical experience. And that was an example of something that moved. And it didn't have the same intimacy as it did at the Atlantic, at the Linda Gross Theater. But somehow when it – you were equally transported, but in a different way mm-hmm. when you saw it. But that cool. was kind of a magnificently staged
– Yeah, absolutely.
Beautiful music and a collaboration between, you know, lyricist and composer yeah. and book writer. I mean, all of it was just kind of extraordinary.
Yeah. Yeah. Kimberly?
I don't, the first thing that came to mind was just honesty. Just if, like, if is it a story that needs to be told? Are they telling it in a way?
And do the songs come out honestly, too?
Yes, and yeah. are the songs
the,
coming
the
out of...
The fluidity of spoken yeah. word and song.
And you'll see that, like, especially with, like, new musicals that then transfer and you see what has changed. Like, a lot of times it's, like, the book leading into a song or a song is cut not because it was bad but because it just didn't... actually make sense. Like I saw Next to Normal mm-hmm. at Second
yeah.
Stage.
Gorgeous.
And that Costco number and
yeah, yeah.
Feeling Electric, which were really fun. But then when I saw it on Broadway and those were gone, I was like, oh, but I understand the story better.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Totally.
And that was exciting.
For me, it's just, I never go in with expectations, like Alana said, but I can't help it as a writer. I go in and immediately my brain is going to like 1,000 miles a minute, like kind of dissecting what's happening on stage. So for me, what I'm really looking for is a show that turns my brain off. Like not in a bad way, but I mean like stops me from thinking about how it was constructed and just
oh,
like
sure.
sweeps me up into the show. So I'm just like following the story. There's been like a couple shows I've seen even recently that have done that, that I think
yeah.
it's really just, that's what I need. It's just somebody who can like get me out of my own head as a writer and just make me like
stop
follow your
the
journey.
Strings.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was going to say, I just want to be transported, whether it's the story that does it or like multiple songs that do it. I just want that moment of all of a sudden the audience goes away and it's just me and those people on stage. Like, in that connection.
Like you're Lorelai Gilmore in the audience and it's just Sutton singing right to you.
Why
does
Gilmore Girls always come up?
How do you know that was the example I was
giving you? Because you make fun of me every time I bring up Gilmore Girls.
Why does Gilmore Girls always happen?
But let's talk about the opposite of a new musical. Let's talk about a revival of an incredibly popular musical, which many of us in this room have seen. The new revival of Sunday in the Park with George.
Alana, I know that you saw it. What were
yeah,
your impressions of the show?
I found myself so magically with a ticket to opening night. And I...
Fancy.
I am so fancy.
In the newest old theater,
In the
newest
old theater. So let me just tell you the craziness. So Frank DeLella of New York One
yeah.
fame,
mm-hmm.
For your New York audiences, or, mm-hmm. or actually his onstage show, I think, is a national, across America. Maybe even if your listener isn't in New York, they would
oh,
know who Frank DeLella
name.
Is.
Yeah, I love you some Frank DeLella.
So Frank is an old friend of mine, and often I get to be his plus one at opening nights, which
nice.
Is... a thrill.
Yeah.
And for some reason, and I don't, neither Frank or I understand how this happened, but we were, and he wasn't working, you know, often he's like doing the red carpet. So
right,
I
right.
like, you know, but for whatever reason, he was just seeing the show and then he was going to interview people at the party afterwards. So we walk into the theater and I feel like the ushers like open the house and then someone was like, don't open the house yet. So we walk in and then it's just
they
us.
Pulled a
Moonlight.
Warren Beatty,
you're gonna
I
watch
right?
Moonlight.
Yeah. I don't understand what's happening. And he and I are walking to our seat and all of a sudden the door that takes you backstage opens up and Mr. Stephen Sondheim walks out into the theater from the little, like, sneaky, you know, back doorway.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
obviously he had just been backstage to congratulate his cast and say happy opening, as Stephen does before a show. And he walks out, and suddenly it's me and Frank and Mr. Sondheim and some beautiful, elegant woman who was with him. I don't know who it was. Mm-hmm. And I was like, hey, I just want to say I love this piece so much and happy opening, Mr. Sondheim. And he was like, thank you so much. And I was like, thank you so much.
Is your life
and
complete?
And Frank, who is generally not a man a few words, we're just looking at like what's happening right now.
Amazing.
And so we just had this like the sweetest moment with Mr. Sondheim. I saw because I could be all of your mothers, I saw the original production with Bernadette Peters mm-hmm. and Mandy Patinkin. Most people know that soundtrack really
right.
well.
Oh, I wore out the DVD.
Yeah.
Right?
It's cool. Just so beautiful.
It was VHS back then, right?
No, I'm younger than
you're A-track.
You're A-track.
Mine, exactly. Mine was the VHS.
And then Laser I disc? Saw it a few years ago when they did another revival.
In 2008.
With that incredible British actor whose name...
Oh, Daniel. We just looked it up the other day.
Daniel.
Not Radcliffe.
No. It was Jenna something and Daniel
something else.
Jenna and Daniel. But that was also a beautiful production. So yeah. I just have to say that this musical has been one of my favorite pieces ever of art in the world. Mm-hmm. And
Daniel Evans,
who was magnificent.
Oh, that's one of the best
Jenna
things
Russell,
I've ever
right?
seen. Jenna Russell.
And Jenna
yep.
Rollins. anyway, I mean,
Children
you guys...
and art. Jenna Rollins.
This musical slays me.
Uh-huh.
It slays me. And I feel... Now more than ever, it couldn't be more relevant as a story to be told and to mm-hmm. be in an audience that is so appreciative of mm-hmm. art, right? In previous productions, I've always found the second act, although I love so much of the music and I love the idea of like the all of it and Marie looking at the portrait and saying, there's Mama, and all uh-huh. of that is so moving. But the problem for me was always, I never related. I understood that George in the second act struggled with his art the same way his predecessor mm-hmm. had. But it was never like, we have the George Seurat painting, right, that we know is so beautiful and that mm-hmm. we connect to in Act One.
And you watch him make it.
You watch him make it and you know the piece, like whether you've seen it in a museum or in a book, like you, yeah. there's context
for
it. Or
whether it's your note cards at your house.
Or your, or your like impressionist art cards that you play yeah. poker with. But they really solved in the second act the magic of coming up with a piece of art that would be modern and in the technology age that this artist in Act Two yeah. is dealing with. And it was so beautiful. And it just really solved for me the thing that was always hard to connect to, which is the art at the center of it.
Yeah, like R2-D2 Chromalume from the revival.
I couldn't agree with you more. I'm on the opposite side of the spectrum for Sunday in the Park. It is not close to one of my favorite shows.
Mm-hmm. I understand.
It is my all-time favorite.
I know. I don't really enjoy sitting through it, to be honest.
Can I ask you?
Yeah.
I have not stopped talking about it. A, because I think it shouldn't be surprising, but for a movie star like Jake Gyllenhaal, Annaleigh Ashford, like we know she's incredible and we know she's going right. to slay it, and the supporting cast, they're brilliant.
Brilliant.
I mean, I've heard a couple of people say that it doesn't resonate for them, and I'm curious why.
So the reason I prefaced it with the fact that it's not my favorite is because I was shocked at how much this specific production, and I saw the 2008
right.
production, how much this one really got to me, like in a good way.
And do you think it's because you're older,
yes.
maybe, and sort of your understanding of like relationships and what we give up for our work? Like, what is it?
I think it's all the above. I think I'm older. I think it was a spot on production. Act Two was the greatest version of that Act Two I've ever seen. I thought that the actor's understanding of that content was incredible. And I've always appreciated Sunday in the Park as a outside-of-the-box piece of work.
Mm-hmm.
How I have no idea how this man, who you said hello to beforehand...
I'm sorry, my friend Steve?
Your good friend.
Your friend Steve.
Oh, no, I understand. Yeah, because I can ask him for you
yeah,
if you want.
Just text him.
Do you Snapchat Steven Sondheim?
Oh, I hope that's like how he texts.
Yeah.
Do, 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 do,
good.
It's truly
finishing the Snapchat.
Finishing the chat. Finishing the chat. He's
filtering the Snapchat.
Filtering the chat.
He's not going to be my friend anymore.
It's truly, I think it's one of the greatest written things of all time, but I just don't, it just never got to me. Listening to the album, never, yeah. I saw this production and it did it for me. It may have been like the new theater and the whole experience, and the Hudson's amazing, so go see it.
What a beautiful theater.
I always like Act One. Act One is always enjoyable. It usually feels too condensed. I never feel like I get to know the characters enough to empathize with them. And then all of a sudden, Act Two is just different characters. Mm-hmm. And I never liked that. I thought that Gyllenhaal and Ashford's work in Act One and the clear, clear direction of the staging as well as the internal lives of those characters was one of the best through lines of that Act One I've ever seen. And I thought that Act Two was the clearest and most narratively perfect I've seen Act Two, especially in the way it relates to Act One. Mm-hmm. And I was really blown away by this production for a show that I was anticipating, thinking it was okay.
James Lapine's niece is the director of the play. And that's a story I kind of want to know, too. I don't know much about it, but I'm and how amazing to have that kind of legacy. There was so much like that. And Bernadette Peters
Sarna.
Bernadette Peters was in the audience mm-hmm. on opening night.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
So my head, I was like,
Annalie Ashford out a little bit.
I hope they didn't tell her that.
Oh, I'm sure she knew.
I mean, it was just so, it was like, that felt like time travel, like that play you were just describing. Yep. To have like Bernadette Peters right there and Annalie Ashford, like the whole thing was kind of.
Chilling with your friend Steven.
Again.
Kev, you saw it too.
So I did.
Kevin saw, this is funny, Kevin saw the matinee before opening.
Okay.
I saw the evening before opening and you saw opening. So we saw the three successive.
And I have yet to buy tickets.
Together. I know.
We're all.
Except that it is highly featured in my wedding.
Anytime there's a High School Musical reference, I want to do a shot.
We can cheers.
Cheers.
We're all in this together.
Cheers.
I love it. That series of films are some of my favorite.
Oh, yeah.
I've never seen them.
Sunday in the Park. I am with Alana. I think this show is brilliant, and I've always been really touched by it. My only issue is the fact that the beautiful Move On, which is one of the best written musical theater songs of all time, because we know that he was playing George Surratt in Act One, I feel like all of us kind of just transport him to that character in our head because they have that whole, like, we've always belonged.
And that's something you feel always?
Wait, what do you mean? What do you mean? Say that again.
Because it seems like in the song Move On,
right?
It's George from Act Two speaking with, like, the ghost of Dot.
Right.
Correct.
But then they have, it's basically like in that song, they almost like have their understanding of each other that they never could have life.
That's right.
And then
it's fantasy,
sings,
right?
Right. Yeah. And so like, that's my only issue is just like that she's finally getting to like understand her lover, but it's her lover in the body of her great grandson.
And is that your problem always or with this production?
No, that was my problem always. But
love that.
But with this production, like Brian said, with how seamlessly they did everything, I didn't even think about that.
It didn't bother you.
Right?
It didn't stand out as this incongruous.
And I would see this again, and that is not words I thought I would say.
I worship the performances of Mandy Patinkin and Bernadette Peters in this show
Mandy Patinkin.
And I was a little concerned that I would go in and feel like I was watching somebody do a really great performance of someone else's role.
You did not see the revival?
I did not. I did not see the Jenna Russell revival.
Right.
It was so good.
But I mean, I think they both did incredible jobs, but I think a big shout out needs to go to Annalie Ashford. Sorry. Shout out to Annalie Ashford because not only did she bring something really
like
interesting and incredible performance, but she sang it. And it was almost like I was hearing the same music I knew, but different music because she brought a completely different vibe to it. Mm-hmm. And just she mixed it a lot, which I thought was really unexpected for her, but also really beautiful in the tone of the music.
And she has a baby that's 5 minutes old.
Seriously?
So, really?
Annalie Ashford
has
a new baby.
She was pregnant during Rocky Horror.
I think the baby
that's
is...
right.
Yeah. Anyway, so that was also just as someone... I just thought about her in terms of someone who's just had a kid and just singing about children and art. And what, you know, what we give up or how having children can change how we live, mm-hmm. right? And what our priorities are and all of that. I thought a lot about that.
How many apples you eat.
And how many apples you eat. Because yeah. I have only seen Hamilton with the original cast. And exactly what you described right now of people who know Bernadette so well and kind of listening to this soundtrack with Annalee Ashford now, I think people have been talking about, like, who have learned the Hamilton podcast. So,
But also the Hamilton cast.
This water is amazing. All right, it's vodka.
Well, we shut up.
I feel like I would have that same experience because I have Renee and, you know, Philippa and those very specific voices
Absolutely.
In my head. And then to go see it with Mandy and all these amazing people. But it yeah. must feel like, wait a minute, that's a yeah. little different.
Yeah, absolutely. So I think we're all in agreement to, if anything, go just see the theater. But
I feel like that's a lot of money to go to see the architecture.
Go for the theater.
Go for the theater. Stay for the show.
It's really great.
It's crazy yeah.
oh,
how
I'll
good
probably
it
be there
is.
Next week.
It's really, really
it's
great.
It's crazy how good it is. But you can also, if you don't live in New York, there's a gorgeous scene of Jake Gyllenhaal singing on YouTube.
That you directed it with him walking down the stairs.
Yes, it's beautiful. It's like the MTV video of Sunday
oh,
in the
finishing
Park.
Finishing the hat.
Yeah, right.
Yes.
But it's really cool and kind of moody, and it gives you a sense of his voice
oh, yeah.
and the world of the
oh,
play.
Me in college
would
have been obsessed with that video.
He's excellent.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby. Mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa. Take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to ChumbaCasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Ch-ch-chumba. ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
So let's, let's play a game and then we'll do some questions.
Totes.
Ready?
Yep.
So ready.
I have little known alternative facts.
Little known alternative facts.
I love it.
So good.
Is this true or false?
Okay.
Great.
And I made some stuff up. I just looked up fun facts. And then I had little known facts stuck in my head. Because while you were Lucy on Broadway, I was Lucy in fourth grade. The same season.
Well, you know, I was the youngest Lucy ever.
That's so when
you were
17.
I was on sixth grade.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Because it was a children's cast at that point. But I remember your cast album came out 2 weeks before our show. And I listened to it and I was like, we're doing it wrong. We've missed all these songs. Where did all these songs come from?
Mrs. Benson.
I was so confused. And they were like, no, they added new songs to the revival.
Wait, you weren't Peppermint Patty?
No, I was Lucy.
Peppermint Patty is not
in your version.
In the,
but in the first version.
And right.
Yeah, she didn't exist in ours.
Why, in the version, in the original
the 67
one,
version.
There was a Patty?
Which one did you do?
The 67, because the revival was, like, being written while we were in rehearsals.
Yeah,
well, we were writing it for you.
I know.
But the original,
you missed it.
The original has Peppermint Patty, because What's-Her-Name's not in the new one.
Oh, right.
Peppermint Patty's in the original one, but...
No, we had a Sally.
No, you probably didn't have a Sally, because Sally
was
I
written
think, created...
For
like Andrew Lippa wrote My New Philosophy.
Yeah. So because of the song, Little Known Facts. So I have Little Known Facts.
All
so
right.
I'm just going to go around and then you just yell out true or false.
Got
okay.
it.
Okay. True.
And then keep track of your score.
False.
No, true. Those are the rules.
Yay.
So again, just random fun facts. The shortest Oscar speech ever given was by Patty Duke in 1962. She was 16 and the youngest person to accept an Oscar. And she just said thank you and walked off stage.
True.
False.
True.
She's not the youngest person to accept an Oscar. It's Anna
Paquin. Was the youngest
well,
person
at the time she was.
Sorry.
Okay.
But the meat of that was
to get it.
That was the shortest speech.
Yeah. Okay.
But how about Merritt Weaver's acceptance speech at the Emmys, which was also like, I have to go.
Yeah.
That was the best.
That's amazing.
Oh man.
I gotta go.
I love her.
I love her too.
Okinoshima, Japan, aka Rabbit Island, has thousands of wild rabbits, which began from only five that were released there in the 60s.
False.
True.
Absolutely, maybe.
It is true. Since there are no natural predators to keep the rabbit population in check, and the tourists feed them, they have no fear of people and will swarm them with cuddles.
What was the name of the island before it was Rabbit Island?
It just says AKA Rabbit Island. It's not that Okinoshima means Rabbit Island.
I'm assuming they found the
island
and found all the rabbits on it and then named it Rabbit Island.
But so they put the rabbits there.
Yeah, they put the rabbits. Like, they just, like, released some rabbits and now there are thousands of them.
Release the rabbits.
They should do that in Brooklyn.
Just rabbits everywhere in Brooklyn?
Well, Israel just has cats everywhere because they had a rodent problem and the Brits just released cats and the cats just keep reproducing.
I'm having the craziest deja vu right now.
Really?
Have you ever told me that before?
No.
Snow actually starts by coming up out of the ground and then swirling around in the air to appear as though it is falling from clouds.
That's false.
False.
It comes up, Charlie Brown. Snow comes up.
That was almost my
end
favorite
scene.
Part.
Yes.
Stephen King didn't tell his kids bedtime stories. He made them tell him stories.
That sounds like true.
That's ridiculous.
It's true. These are all facts I found on the internet. Whether they're actually true or false.
Or ridiculous.
That is ridiculous.
True, false, or ridiculous.
Or ridiculous. That's ridiculous. Tell your kids stories, folks.
Yeah. That's
eagles.
Like the one thing they'll let you do.
I know.
Eagles are just grown-up sparrows, like a Pokemon evolution.
False.
That's false.
You know what? Everything you say sounds so smart. Right?
Well, I really have to think about it for a second.
Yeah, good delivery.
Did I not know that ever?
Wait a minute. Are sparrows actually?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm a really good liar.
I have my eye on it. The sparrow, that is.
Over 15,000 life forms have been found in the New York City subway system.
True.
I'm going to go with true.
Yeah, it includes insects and bacteria.
Ew.
That's pretty gross. New Yorkers bite 10 times more people a year than sharks.
False.
Oh, that's true.
That's true.
Definitely. Really? True. We're biting people?
I don't know. Again, facts from the internet.
If you could see her face, she's silent.
She's like, oh, they found me out.
Hi, like with a check, like a little like, I'm here doing a survey.
Yeah.
Like, have you even researched?
That was my initial thought. Like, are these people who have been bitten so hard they had to go to the hospital and report the bite?
Yeah. Or is it like sexy biting?
Great.
But like if a shark came up and just like gave you a hickey, that would be way different.
That's adorable.
That would be so cute.
Yeah. That's completely different.
That's not ridiculous at all.
No.
There are species of bug that just tug at the grass blades to help them grow.
False.
Snow comes up, Charlie Brown. Snow comes up.
Yeah, this is just like, do you know the lyrics to this song? A flock of crows is called a murder.
True.
What? A murder?
That is very Angela Lansbury of you.
Kevin?
I love her so much.
I love her too.
The elephant is the only mammal that can't jump.
What? So sad.
The elephant is the only mammal that can't jump.
I know they can't jump, but are they only one? Yeah, I'm going to go yeah.
True.
Sure. I mean, the internet told me so.
How do we, like, when you say can't jump?
With, like, 2 feet at a time, probably.
Because I feel like they get on the thing and then they get off.
I've seen them, like, do handstands.
Yeah, they do.
But, like, a leap
stunts.
Is different than a jump.
I agree.
So maybe they can, like, but no, I doubt they could even leap. I don't know.
That was the,
you're like a Foley artist.
You are, yeah.
Oh my God, you guys! There's
should
a horse
my,
coming.
Should I take off my belt and be like the snapping?
Can I just say we are absurdly talented?
These are all our special skills that are resume.
Exactly.
Or you can just take off the talented part. We're absurd.
We are all absurdly.
We're all absurdly true.
Yeah.
The first performance of Your Good Man Charlie Brown was March 7th, 1967. The revival opened on that same day in 1999.
I believe that is not true.
That is not true.
That is not true.
We all looked at you. I was like, is that true?
Yeah, we all looked
at
you.
No.
But it was close enough. It was like February 4th. So I was like, it could trip.
Nice work.
Did anyone win?
I mean, if you can get it.
She won.
I don't know. I have cookies for whoever wants one. So everyone's a winner.
Okay, I win a cookie.
So a lot of ones. So she gets questions.
Yay!
So what's your favorite musical?
God, that's literally like asking me to choose my favorite.
And we're
going to
tell all.
You can do that too.
We're going to tell all the other musicals.
Which one
you chose?
We're going to tell the other musicals.
Yeah, we're going to let them all know.
Okay,
we can just tell Donna Murphy because she's in everyone.
Yeah, we'll just tell Donna Murphy. She'll spread the word.
Beautiful. I mean, as much as I cannot wait for Hello Dolly, I cannot wait for that.
That Tuesday night
that she's going to do. Okay, so falsettos is one of my favorites. Mm-hmm. But there are so many that have been revived recently that I love. But I have to say, I found myself at Fiddler on the Roof in the last theater season, and I just was reminded of what it's like to be in something that is so insanely universal. And that resonates today sort of because of what's going on in our world politically. Mm-hmm. So Fiddler on the Roof remains one of my favorite musicals. But I didn't know that until I saw it again.
Yeah.
I don't know if that makes any sense.
It does. It absolutely does. No, I love that production.
But I do. But I really can't choose. I loved Spring Awakening and I mean, The Chorus Line was one of like when I think about, like, I can sing every song and everyone is amazing in the way they made that musical. So Company is amazing. Do you guys love Company? Couldn't you sing all
Mine
that?
Mine is definitely Into the Woods.
I'm failing. I'm sorry,
no,
you guys.
No.
I love musicals so much.
Oh, yeah.
That I can't. You'd have to shoot me. You'd literally have to shoot me in the head.
So before we play another game, I want to hear more about your Good Man Charlie Brown.
Okay.
I know your kind of career up until that point in terms of a Broadway career had been plays mm-hmm. like Last Night of Ballyhoo, mm-hmm. which I love.
Me too. I love that
so
play.
Much.
Me too.
And then all of a sudden, here you are, you're Lucy in a Good Man Charlie Brown with, you know,
people who have done musicals before.
But like, and like, but not just like people who've done musicals, but like true veterans of not only theater, but of life-changing theater.
Right.
So, like...
So let me just say that, like everyone on the planet...
My question is, go!
I love Rent. I loved Rent so much. And knew that cast album backwards and forwards. And that was a soundtrack for my life for a long time.
Yeah.
Right? Like, I'd be driving and I'd be each one of those characters at different times in my mind. So... Getting Charlie Brown is just this strange one-off in my life, and I've always said to people, like, if you ever get a chance to do a Broadway musical, say yes. Like, it really could have been like, do you want to, you know, if you stay one night in this hotel, you get a tour of, like, you know, you get a condo. I don't know.
Yeah.
It was so outside of my reality until that point.
Yeah.
I had done a play. I'd been a part of a theater company in New York called Naked Angels for a long time, and there are amazing people that have come out of that company, all of whom you know, from Joe Mantello to Matthew Broderick to Rob Morrow to Gina Gershon, like a Marissa Tomei, like a very fancy group of artists who most of whom had gone to college together. And I kind of snuck in through the back door in one of their plays. And they ended up, a lot of these people, becoming my New York family that you make when you start coming to do plays in New York City. And Michael Mayer had seen me in a play that Michael Greif had directed at Naked Angels called Machinal, where I played a telephone operator, which mostly what I remember is I would have like this kind of old-fashioned switchboard thing. I'd be like, hello, hello, yes, Mr. Vulcan, we'll put you right through. And wasn't a musical, but it was a character that was kind of very Judy Holliday in spirit.
Totally.
And so... It's sort of interesting for people listening. Like, you just never know. You do a piece of work, and it somehow lives on in people's minds, even if you don't even know it is. Because mm-hmm. many years later, Jay Binder is a casting director who cast the four shows on Broadway that I was in. Like, once Jay Binder retires, I'll move to Texas. It won't matter. He's been a wonderful fan to have. And when I got a call that Michael Mayer wanted me to come in for You're a Good Man, Charlie Brown from Jay Binder, I was like, I don't sing. Like, that's wonderful, but there's no way I'm going in. And Jay called me back and was like, you know what? He knows, you know, we're really looking for someone with a quality that Michael's looking for and comedic talent. And can you carry a tune? And I was like, I can carry a tune. Anyway, I worked so hard with a teacher named Stephen Lutvak, who went on to write A Gentleman's Guide to Love and Murder, ironically. Aww. But at the time, he did his own work, but he was coaching people. And he helped me find this song from Willy Wonka, Veruca's song, I Want It All, which was kind of a, I don't care how I want it now, like a perfect nasal screaming song that had all of the qualities emotionally.
What a good audition song for
Genius song. Yeah. And it is, I mean, they're the same character, one with money, one without, I guess. And Stephen actually played for me at my auditions. And, you know, it was very heady. I walked into the waiting room at 890 Broadway, which meant nothing to me, but that's where people do Broadway rehearsals for shows. Uh-huh. And everyone there was like, I was like, oh my God, that's, I know her from that show. And I know Judy Kuhn. Like, it was so heady and hilarious that I was even there. And I remember walking in and just saying, I'm singing on Broadway right now. It might be. Like, everything was like, this was so out of my world. I didn't really understand what was happening.
It's amazing.
It was amazing. It turned out Andrew Lippa kind of played some notes on the piano and I could follow them. But honestly and truly, what got me through that show is Kristen Chenoweth taught me how to be in a musical. She would warm me up every night before the show. She would kind of
Who taught you how to be in a musical?
and you have to remember that is when she became a household name.
Yeah.
Like, to be honest, I was cast as the lead woman in that show. And, you know, my dressing room was on the first floor and hers was on the sixth floor until suddenly I was like, you want to switch? Because really, it's hard for people to come see you right this way. Mr. Gandhi, whoever was coming. do you want to rest? I would like hand people like cups of water, like just seven more floors and you'll be up to the Queen's dressing room. But it was really seriously all of this to get back to Rent though. When I found out that I got it, of course I was like, there's been a terrible mistake, and I didn't want to do it.
And the role goes to Moonlight.
Yes. Yes, I was like, I'm in La La Land. It's all well and good until you actually have to go be in a Broadway musical. And, you know, I felt like I'd won the walk-on, but I was actually supposed to do it every single night. All of which is to say that Anthony Rapp would warm up on many a night using songs from Rent, because they were sort of where they fell in his voice vocally, worked for Charlie Brown. And just to be in my little dress, like, I would pretend to warm up because I didn't really, like, like, yeah, I'm going to warm up. And I'd be eating, like, chocolate and drinking milk and, like, talking on the phone.
Yeah,
and
all
like,
the dairy.
Like, oh, mucus? Is that not, oh, not dairy? Like, I had no idea anything. I'd be like, la, 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 ready. You know, literally just like, oh, I guess I should use hot steam like BD does. Like, literally had no idea. So I would listen to how each of them warmed up and kind of mimic it a little bit. And all of this is apparent on the cast recording. There's nothing I'm saying that isn't clear when you listen to it, that there are some major singers on the record and me. But I would just hear him singing Mark Cohen songs the whole time. And I literally was like, how is this happening?
Yeah.
How is this my life? And I got to meet a world of Broadway theater fans, and they are the most magnificent people on the planet. Michael Mayer and Jerry Mitchell and Andrew Lippa promised me that I would seem like someone who should be in this show. And I feel like at the end of the day, I will never have the vocal stylings of Kristen or Stanley Wayne Mathis or B.D. Wong or Roger Bart or Anthony Rapp. But I feel like I understood what Charles Schulz wanted to do with these kids who were really all of us. And it was a really, really magical time in my life.
Yeah.
And that cast is my family to this day.
Yeah.
I love them deeply. I would give kidneys, arms, limbs, $10. Like, if they needed it.
Just 10.
Yeah.
So it was very special. And
that's
amazing. Yeah.
Let's play a game. Let's go into a game.
Yeah.
Okay. Show cards.
Great. Show cards.
Lights of Broadway.
Do I need to put my glasses on? Am I going to have to read something?
No.
Okay.
No. Unless, can you read, like, the name underneath?
Oh,
Well, we'll just tell you who it is. Does everyone grab a
Jake
show
Gyllenhaal.
Card? Jake Gyllenhaal.
Does he have one?
Oh, weird.
Buy me a Coke.
The same.
I don't think so.
Thing. Okay. So everyone grab a card from the question bucket.
Okay.
And then we're going to play Two Truths and a Lie about the cards. So either, like, as the card you drew or, like, make up fun facts about that person. But two are true and one is a lie. And we will each have to guess. And as we've learned, I'm a good liar. So
Two Truths and a Lie about this person?
Yeah.
All right, Kevin, you lead us off.
Cool. I have Elaine Stritch. Elaine Stritch was born on Groundhog Day. Elaine Stritch lived in the Carlisle Hotel from 2005 to 2013. And Elaine Stritch finally won a Tony Award for Elaine Stritch at Liberty after being nominated four other times.
The false is the first one you said. Her birthday is not Groundhog's Day.
It is actually Groundhog Day.
Did you lie about the date she lived in the Carlisle?
I did not lie about the date she lived in the Carlisle.
So she didn't win a Tony.
She won a Tony, but she was only nominated three times before that.
Oh, semantics.
Wow, Kevin.
That's very tricky. Wine.
It's very good wine.
That's good wine from your dad.
Yes,
I have Darren Criss.
Ooh.
Yeah, you do.
Mm-hmm. Let's see.
Bring it on, Darren.
Yeah.
Darren spells his name with two R's.
He does. And two S's. But no H.
Truth.
And or Criss.
Two truths and a lie. Done. You're done.
Okay. Darren Criss played Harry Potter in Star Kids' musical production of a Harry Potter musical. Darren Criss began the national tour of Hedwig and the Angry Inch. And Darren Criss went to high school with my friend Haley.
I think the high school is a lie.
Nope. They went to high school together. He was on Broadway in Hedwig.
He didn't do the tour.
No.
He did do the tour.
He did. Did I accidentally say a truth?
Maybe he started off. Maybe he wasn't the first.
No, he did it on the Broadway, but I don't know.
He was on the tour.
But was he the first one?
He may have been.
Oh, did I make up a truth by accident?
I think you did.
That's so cool when that happens.
That's really funny. All right, so then...
Hold on.
Darren can speak Korean, French, and French.
False. He only speaks French once.
Yep. He can speak Italian, German, Portuguese, French, Filipino, and some Japanese. Who is this kid?
It's Darren Criss.
That's exhausting.
Two R's, two S's.
Two R's, two S's.
No H.
Okay. I have Robert Morse. Okay.
Yes.
Robert Morse recently starred in The Front Page on the Broadway. Stid. He was on Mad Men. And he fathered five children when he was over 60 years old.
Wow. Oh.
He was in Mad Men. Was he in Front Page?
I think so. Yeah, I didn't see it.
I
think he only had like two kids.
Over 60.
Over 60.
That is right. I don't know anything about him having children over a certain age. Or
but that was believable.
That was really good.
Because it looked like you were reading it.
That's exactly why I thought that.
You acted.
You made me.
I was in a Broadway musical.
All right, Brian.
All right, Brian.
I have John Raitt.
Oh, yes. How handsome.
John Raitt auditioned for Oklahoma in front of Rodgers and Hammerstein.
That's true.
And they cast him on the spot.
Because he did the... Don't put dry, kind of long,
long, long. You won't let me go through all three of mine, Kevin?
Well, that one's true. Okay.
I guess that's Brian. True. If not, then you guys have set us up so beautifully. Yeah,
it was a tag team.
That's why they were looking at their phone.
They've been, like, texting underneath, like, I want you to do that whole thing.
Number two.
Sure. Number two is that he was so dedicated to summer stock and bringing theater to people outside of New York. That he did 25 consecutive years of summer stock, and he went to school to be a tenor, but his voice was so much in the baritone range. In addition, that's what he's more known for.
That one's a lie.
How do you like choose? Like, I'm going to go to school to be a soprano, but I'm an alto.
Well, he didn't choose to go with that, but like that's what he trained for. Because the last one was a lie.
It was a lie.
Yeah.
What's the craziest thing you've on stage? What's the craziest thing that you've seen happen in the audience?
Oh.
Well, when I was doing The Last Night of Ballyhoo, the Alfred Urie play that mm-hmm. you enjoyed, it was when those lasers came out. Like
laser pointers?
Oh, yeah.
Laser pointers?
Yes, like for your cats.
Right. And someone decided, like, I know, my son is too young for this show. He might get bored. I'm going to bring a laser pointer for him to play with during the play.
Oh, my gosh.
And when I was in the show, I had Carol Shelley was once my... There were different women actresses playing my mom at different points. So mm-hmm. it was first Carol Shelley, and then it was Kelly Bishop of Gilmore Girls fame.
Yes, Emily.
Lorelai's mother.
I would have died.
And I am in a scene with her, and True. I look at her, and I see...
Oh,
a
no!
A laser on her head.
I was like, someone's about to have dark advice. I was like, what's happening? And she sees me looking panicked. And right when I'm like, how do I, like, do sign language or some way to be like, there's a green laser right on your forehead and I'm scared you're going to get shot in the head in a minute. Right as I'm trying to figure out, like, what do I do right now? Clearly it switched because then it's on my forehead. It suddenly went.
Oh,
and I see. So now I'm like, I know
she
why
knows
she's
what's happening. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Looking that
That's
way.
That's amazing.
So we both have this moment. Luckily, the curtain's about to come down. And Kelly Bishop was like, I'm not going out for act two until you find whoever has that laser
yeah.
and you get them out. And that was, I mean, I've heard people throwing up and there have been times where that same play where they had to stop and you heard, is there a doctor in the house?
Mm-hmm.
But I would say the other thing is I was doing a play called My Name is Asher Lev, which clearly brought like a certain older audience to matinees
yeah.
Because that's who knew the original book, My Name right. is Asher Lev. And I heard, I was like, why are we so delayed? And stage manager came back and I'm like, we're so sorry. But someone has set up their lunch on the lip of the stage and we're going to just wait a minute as they take their picnic off the stage and they put it back into the bag and walk out of the theater. And you just, all of a sudden, so we go upstairs to kind of peek through the curtain to find out.
Of course you do.
Oh my God. And you just see that man like, I'm just going to take up a little space. It's just a little space. But literally he had taken out like his entire Kentucky Fried Chicken bucket.
Oh,
he had
my
like
God.
The mashed potatoes and the little biscuit and the plate. He's like, no. And he didn't understand, like, no, we don't mean move it over to the corner of the stage.
Yeah.
We mean
leave. The
and then they explained that they would hold it for him till after the show. And he was like, there's no intermission. They're like, no. It's like, no. That.
And he left.
But he was so upset that he
wanted that chicken. I understand.
I'm just taking up a little corner of the stage.
He just wanted his chicken.
He was right. What is the big deal?
What is the big deal? It's just chicken.
Just a little corner of the stage. Could you imagine?
But I think that brings us to the end of our episode.
It does.
First, I want to thank you so much for joining us.
Yeah, seriously. Thank you so much.
But we end every episode with a quote to wrap it up. So today's quote is, with you I could learn to, with you what a new day, but who can I turn to if you turn away? It's who can I turn to from Roar of the Grease Paint and the Smell of the Crowd.
The Grease Paint?
The Grease Paint?
How's that
one? And the smell of the...
That's beautiful.
Turned into Blues Clues.
Yeah.
That's exactly right.
I love Blues Clues.
So good.
Well, I mean, that quote was beautiful, but to end with Blues Clues actually is really poignant.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, it's the mail. It never fails. It makes me want to wag my tail.
When it comes, I want to yell.
Mail.
Yes.
That sounds exactly like do 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 do. It's Sondheim.
It never felt.
Sondheim wrote the music for Blue's Clues, you guys.
Yeah. Yellow. Clue, 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 clue.
It's the chair.
Yeah. Magenta.
Guys, this was... all
thank
fun.
You so much.
Thank you so much for having me.
Of course. Don't forget you can follow her at Little Known Facts on Facebook as well as Instagram. And then her name, Alana Levine, on
Twitter.
Yeah. You can go to iTunes and subscribe to her. You can also, while you're on iTunes, you might as well stop by Broadway and subscribe to us.
You can also find us at Broadway Sun on all social media. You can go to our website and troll Kevin at Jager Kev or whatever it is.
Yep.
But in all seriousness, thank you so much. And we end every episode with our favorite cadence from one of the greatest songs of all time.
Sure.
Zoot-a-bop.
Cheers.
Thanks, guys.
Cheers. Yes,
I've had toothpaste on my shirt all day.
Wait, really?
I just noticed.
We have to start again.
Yeah. Hello and welcome.
Hey, everyone. Welcome to Broadwasted. I'm Alana Levine.
Hey, it's Leslie Odom Jr. here on the Broadway Podcast Network to tell you about the RISE Theater Directory, a program of Maestro Music. RISE is a national online resource designed to connect and empower backstage and administrative and creative theater professionals from underrepresented backgrounds. If you work or aspire to work in the theater community, this can help you find your next project. And if you hire theater professionals, search the RISE Theater Directory to find your next team. Create your profile now and get more information by visiting risetheater.org. That's theater with an RISETHEATRE.org. Because only together we rise.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.